by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Wanted to get your reactions again to everything that you heard today from Sashi Brown, Paul D. Podesta. Let us know here on CBD, 216-578-0850. Again, no updates yet on the staff for the Browns. We should have some of those for you soon. And Matt, when you know, for Sashi, this is going to be the first time that he is a guy that's going to go down and get down there and down to Mobile. What's that like, going down to the Senior Bowl? And for somebody, you know, probably in his first time doing it in this capacity, that's got to be a pretty exciting thing for him, I would imagine.
It definitely is. And I think, you know, he's going to lean on a lot of other executives, maybe from other teams. And in some cases, I hate to say, you can't always be the alpha and be the leader of the pack. You know,
sure.
It, when you go down in those situations, it's almost like follow the crowd because it's a copycat league. And Sashi as the new guy on the block, not only in his role, but, you know, playing it for the first time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of conversations. And, you know, when one get the general manager that you're talking to mid-conversation gets up and moves, you get up and move with him, you know, to go see what he wants to see.
Right.
And I understand needs are different and what your attention might be on is going to be a little bit different. But it's a lot of going through the motions. The Senior Bowl probably has an itinerary set up to allow, you know, individuals like Sashi, you know, top talent evaluators and coaches to get down there. You know, exclusive areas just for him to be able to access the athletes, have those interview
sure.
type of times. They're, of course, going to have their field pass to be able to sit and watch from afar or get down and watch, you know, offensive line, O-line, D-line one-on-ones. That's a very intriguing time and a lot of spotlight being shown, especially, you know, if there's any guys being drafted. Carson Wentz going through individual drills, through 7-on-7, you know, stand behind in the end zone as you did a few times this year to get that perspective
and
see what he
it.
Sees, watch his footwork, not only from the bleachers. It's all going to be taped and the review is going to be, you know, ongoing. But for you to see it with your own eyes, and like we said, for someone like Sashi, you know, who a lot of people came down on, well, he doesn't have an eye for talent. He's never evaluated talent.
He's never done it.
Well, it's an opportunity for him to start. Mobile, Alabama. He'll see it with his own two eyes. He will have a hypothesis coming out of the Senior Bowl about anybody that's potentially on our draft board.
Which I think is an exciting thing if you're Sashi
Absolutely
Brown.
It is.
Yeah, I think it's an exciting thing. And it's a good opportunity for the Browns, obviously, to get down there and for Sashi to really get his feet wet, as it were, in this world of scouting and everything that he's going to be doing.
Everyone starts somewhere, don't they?
That's right. And the good news is it's not, and I think that's what people, I think one thing that hopefully came out from that press conference is you think that this is going to be Sashi in a vacuum. He's got control over the 53. It's not.
No.
There's going to be a lot of incredibly skilled people who've been doing this for a very long time in their NFL lives assisting Sashi in this process. And that, to me, is if you're a Browns fan, that's what's exciting about it. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. As it relates to Josh Gordon, we heard he's applied for reinstatement.
Good
we
for
talked
him.
About it yesterday. It is good for him. We do feel comfortable that Josh Gordon is a guy that's going to go forward here with the Cleveland Browns. And I certainly, again, I've said it yesterday and I'll say it again today. If he plays another snap in the National Football League, I want it to be for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Why not?
Okay. Screw up again. You're gone.
Right.
And you're not only gone being not a Cleveland Brown, you're gone out of the NFL for another year.
You're done. I mean, at this point, if you're Josh Gordon, you have to kind of look at the situation and realize that if you screw up again, the chances of you playing in the National Football League again are slim to none.
Black and white.
Yeah.
That's where it is. It's
yeah.
one way or another way for Josh Gordon. There's no in between anymore. There's no more finagling because I'm so talented. If you're a constant screw up and you can't get off the stuff, you'll always be on the stuff. And people, you know, and again, we've had, I think Chevy always calls in and talks about, you know, his battle with alcoholism and how he's overcome it and how long he's been sober. It is a lifelong mission. Once you
battle,
have it,
every day.
You battle it every day.
Every single day. Let's go to Steve in North Carolina now. Steve, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Steve, we're great. How are you today, my friend?
All right. Great interview with Sasha. That was excellent.
Thank you.
I wanted to, I have a song for you guys.
Okay.
All right. It's an instrumental. It's called Charles Bradley, Dusty Blue.
Charles Bradley, Dusty Blue. I don't know if I'm familiar.
Let me write that down.
Write that down. Charles Bradley, Dusty Blue. All right, Steve, I appreciate
that. Yeah, they used it on the TV show Suits.
Okay, uh-huh.
And also, I have a chart for you guys for analytics, but I'll save that for another day. And I wanted to say that I think Carson Wentz is a better pro prospect than Jared Goff.
Okay, and why do you think that?
And I watched the draft breakdown of Carson Wentz and a lot of film and tape, and I think the biggest thing that he has is, one, is his arm strength, but also his ball placement. And if you, I'm not going to bore you with anything. I don't want you to watch. Just look at the Carson Wentz Illinois State draft breakdown tape.
Okay.
And go to 9 minutes and 13 seconds and just watch the throw that he makes.
Okay, 9 minutes and 13 seconds on draft breakdown. Against who? Illinois State?
Illinois State.
Okay, Carson Wentz. I listen. A very intriguing prospect and a guy that, as we've talked about, is certainly kind of gaining a lot of momentum. And that's one of the cool things with Draft Breakdown. You can do that. That's when I take my notes. That's how I do it. I write down specific plays at specific times. That's the one to me that's like, oh, that's the banner play. That's the one that I'm excited about.
Exactly. And I love the caller. He brought not only a bold statement to say Wentz is better than Goff in his eyes, it was the why behind it that adds credibility to this. It's like, oh, I'm going to win the lottery. Well, why? You know, I'm going to do this. Well, why? He's better than him. Well, why? Why? Don't just say it because you watched one nationally televised football game that was 5 months ago.
Sure.
And you turned it off after he threw his third pick.
Give us the why.
Give us the why behind it.
We like the why. We're big fans of the why. Why not? That's what we say.
We explain ourselves every day on
here. That's what we do for hours and hours. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, 216-578-0850. Again, give us your thoughts on Sashi Brown, Paul D. Podesta. You more confident, less confident? What did you think from what you heard from them? Let us know here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Reaction is finally we want to. People are asking for it. When are we going to get to hear from Sashi and Paul? Well, you heard from them today, and we want to get your take on what it is that you did hear. And we'll go now to Sal on a cell. Sal, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good, man.
Here's my impression. Two very smart guys. I'm not sure if analytics will work in this in football and translate from baseball. But what really disappoints me in all this is that I'm not so sure how you can give this guy power over a 53-man roster when he's not a football guy. I mean, just think of, you think analytics would have put Chris Spielman in the NFL? I can name 30 guys.
Well, I mean, I think first of all, I think you're overstating. If did you listen to the press conference today?
Yeah, I did listen to the press conference.
I mean, they're not. That's not what's happening. They're not just going to say, "Oh, analytics say this," and that's what we're doing. That's a piece of the puzzle.
I agree with that. But we're in such bad shape in this town, this football team.
Mm-hmm.
This was a chance we had to really hire a football guy.
But
We don't have a football. Neither of those guys are football guys. Neither.
Mike Holmgren, a football guy.
Mike Holmgren was a football guy. He was a terrible business guy. He ran everything wrong. But and these guys may be good as far as organization goes. But I want someone who can tell me that this guy is going to be a great football player.
So that's that. So what's happening now? Or at least the goal of what's happening now is that top talent evaluator guy is the football guy you're asking for. He hasn't been hired yet, but he is going to be
in
the
mix. He doesn't have any power over a 53-man roster.
I don't mind that.
He has a seat at the table.
Was Ray Farmer a football guy?
Ray Farmer was terrible.
But was Ray Farmer a football guy? You're just assuming that because somebody was a football guy. Everybody who's been here before has been a quote-unquote football guy.
Okay, so you're going to tell me Sashi Brown's going to go to the Senior Bowl and be able to tell you who the best left tackle is at the Senior Bowl?
First of all, he may be able to at some point, but that's not his role. That's not what his job is.
Ultimately, he has a say over all of that, ultimately.
Right, but would you agree? So he's going to have a scouting department that's headed by this guy that is going to fill out the draft board. Sashi Brown is not setting his own draft board. What Sashi's going to do is make sure that within that framework, smart decisions are being made for this organization.
And to me personally, after this conversation, it's like Sashi Brown's the one guy that has a pair big enough to be able to make a call, a final call based around 5 to 15 different perspectives on one thing.
I think that that's very true as well.
My neck's out on the line, but...
Well, as you heard today, who's going to get blamed when things don't go well?
Right, it's very evident, and that's fine, and that's fine. That's what comes, you know, when you're in a multi-billion-dollar business. You know, you've just been promoted. Especially, I think, you know, the pessimism comes from the number of times it's been screwed up before.
And here, yeah.
And especially here.
In your business, if they brought somebody in to do your job who's never done it before and replaced you, how would you feel?
So this is what I would say. So before I ever came, okay, to sports, before I ever started the fantasy consultant, before I ever came to the Cleveland Browns, I was a McKinsey consultant, and I was right out of school. And one of the things that I did, companies would pay McKinsey millions, literally millions of dollars, to have people come into their companies, okay, who had never been in that industry before, all right? So you would come in as a McKinsey consultant, and I remember this was my very first project. So this is a true factual story of how my very first project with McKinsey went. I came in there and we had a meeting with the CEO of, at the time, Northwestern Airlines. And as Paul DePotesta said today, when he was in baseball, there were people who had been in the baseball business and world longer than he had been alive. This guy running Northwest Airlines had certainly been in the airline business longer than I had been alive. However, what I was able to do using a completely outside-of-the-box way of looking at things and come in there and work for them was give them recommendations that allowed Northwest Airlines to make an extra $30 million a year. Now, I had never been in there before, and he, in fact, said that in the meeting. What do you know about this? I've been doing this longer than you've been alive. That doesn't mean that you can't be intelligent or that you can't have the right solution or the right process just because it isn't something that you necessarily have done as long as somebody else. Doing something longer doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing it better.
Correct. I agree with you. I think that's a good analogy, except you weren't making the ultimate decision there. And if this is wrong, what they're doing is wrong, it's not going to set us back 5 years. It's going to set us back 20 years.
Well, I mean, I don't know that we could be in, you know, I don't know how much worse shape we could be. But it actually, the difference to me is you said I didn't have ultimate decision-making authority. And you're right. The CEO did. But it would be similar to kind of the grief that the Browns as an organization were getting that led to some of this change, and that somebody made a study, put together information, delivered that information, and then it was ignored by the decision maker. So if the guy at Northwest wanted to pay $1 million to McKinsey and then ignore the recommendation of the people he brought in, and then that recommendation proved to be right and he was wrong, he's not going to be in a job long. So I believe firmly in no hierarchy of thought. I think good ideas are good ideas regardless of where they come from. And if the Browns can find a way to utilize this stuff and get an advantage over the competition, I certainly am all for it, and I know many of you out there are as well. All right, let's go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Bart in Solon, welcome. Bart.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. Only show in Cleveland that I can actually listen to without turning off the radio, so big fan.
Thank you, man.
Only thing that I want to see the Browns do is be consistent and have a plan and stick to it. I'm sick of drafting first and second round draft picks and seeing within 2 or 3 years they're not even on our team or they're not even in the league anymore. Seems like we're one of the only teams in the NFL whose first and second round draft picks are out of the league. And it's just very, very depressing to see that year in and year out. So whatever plan they put in place, great. Just stick to it. And I want to see them develop the talent that we actually get into our building. And if Hugh can do what he could with the other quarterbacks, such as Andy Dalton, with whoever they take in the first round, even if it is the second overall pick, I would be greatly impressed and, I guess, surprised as a fan.
Me too. I'd be thrilled, quite frankly. Absolutely thrilled. Let's go. What was that? Bart's gone? All right. So that's, you know, obviously – and there is some of that resistance, and I like that. And I was just wondering if people got more comfort from what they heard today, and maybe some did, maybe some did not. For you as a football person, a football player, you're a football guy. Let's say you went into coaching, you would be considered without question a football guy. That's what you are.
Yes.
That's how you have made it your whole life, your whole career, et cetera, football. Do you find it offensive? Do you think players in the locker room find it offensive that Sashi – has control over 53. Does that register to people?
No.
Would you say, oh, man, if you got cut, I got cut. This guy doesn't even know anything about football.
No. I mean, and you might, but ultimately the reason, and we'll say it, Sashi Brown, you know, cut you, fired you, whatever you want to say is because multiple individuals, multiple reports, multiple resources or studies or film, right?
Led
to him ultimately making a decision between you and another guy or outright that you are not fit for the Cleveland Browns and as you heard him say, the scheme that Hugh Jackson is running on offense or the scheme that the next defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns is running here, with us. You don't fit it. It's not saying that you might not land somewhere else on your feet and maybe you're a practice squad, maybe you get signed to a contract. Maybe 3 years from now, you know, you hit somewhere else. But for the time being, it doesn't just fall on his shoulders. And
right.
Collaboration. That means that when Sashi Brown sits down to make a decision, he's going to have not Sashi Brown's notebook and base everything on that. It's going to be, you know, reports from five different resources. One's going to be the scouting department. One's going to be the Paul DePodesta analytical. You know, the other portion's going to be from the position coach, the coordinator, the head coach, and they're going to go, here you go, Sashi. Make a decision.
Here's all the information.
That's why he gets paid the money he gets paid to make the tough decision. And if there's a reason the roster's not 105, you can't keep them all. Okay?
Right.
So, and I think the specific vision that this organization is now taking, the fact we're looking for a different player than we have in the past.
We should.
And we were talking about the same after 2014 draft. We said the same thing this offseason, and we drafted different players. Okay? Some worked, some won't, some are yet to be determined, right?
Yep.
And I think Jimmy Haslam saw it fit to hit the reset button again. Pulled the plug out of the cable box in the back, plugged it back in, and it's big plug. And now it's Sashi Brown, Paul DePodesta, Hugh Jackson. And it's their time with what's left on this roster to recreate the new vision.
To recreate it, and then not only recreate it, execute it, implement it, and execute it. And I think that's going to be exciting to see going forward. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Phone lines lighting up, 216-578-0850. We will get to you guys right after this, your reaction today to the Sashi Brown, Paul DePodesta press conference here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford's Gern Wilhelm here. We got Ron in Chardon with us. Ron.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Ron?
Thanks for my call.
You got it.
A couple things. One, you know, I'm very intrigued by this. This is really exciting. A new direction for the Browns is something we've all been asking for. A couple things I'm thinking about, though. For one, how difficult is it to find a bunch of guys, powerful men in a league like this, that all are without ego, that can they play together, for lack of a better term.
And
the thought about Sashi Brown, with that role, that position he's in, was that job created, and was that a structure that Haslam wanted and he fits Sashi into it, or did he make that position with Sashi in mind?
I think that's
a guy who lack of ego, has worked together and basically direct the whole thing, and that's really curious to me.
I think the experiences of everything they went through, the experiences of having Sashi weigh in on all the decisions that have been made over the last few years, I think it all led to this. I think that this is the culmination of Jimmy and Alec and Sashi and D going around for the best practices in all the different sports, and then the actual on-the-ground experience of working relationship between Jimmy and Sashi led to this.
Right, and I really think, to furthermore, you know, why Sashi in his role is from promoting from within, I guess you can say, as Sashi was, from general counsel to, you know, executive vice president of football operations, it's the right choice. And even though to some fans he might not seem like the right guy, you had to promote from within to maintain some type of continuity, because you're going out and getting someone to evaluate talent from an outside source. You're going out and getting a head coach because you didn't promote anybody, you know, or even interview anybody from this staff to become the head coach. So what I'm trying to say is you don't want outside resource, outside resource, outside resource, and then it's Jimmy and a bunch of new guys to just figure it out. It's the core is Sashi Brown. You know, he's the core,
yep.
And you build around the core. You go get your head coach, you know, the head coach that you wanted from the outset. You go get Paul DePodesta. And the thing about it is, I don't believe this to be true, and I don't know this whether it is or not. I don't think you just wave a bunch of money in front of a guy like Paul DePodesta and say, hey, and he's just going to snatch at it. Because he's made his money before, and he'll continue to make his money. There had to be mutual interest.
Absolutely.
From Paul DePodesta to come and move cross, or potentially, when the time is right, move cross country here to Cleveland and be a part of what we're doing. So, long story short is, Sashi Brown was the core. So you had to promote someone from within. You didn't promote a head coach. You didn't promote anyone from the scouting staff to general manager. So you couldn't start from anew because it would have set this organization back too far.
I agree.
Sashi's the core. He knows. He's been in on those conversations with Pettine and Farmer in the past and Jimmy Haslam in the past. He's your core. You build around your core.
And that is what they are doing. Let's go now to Brian in Connecticut. Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
Hey, I can't believe I'm about to say this, to be honest with you, but I mean, Mike Pettine, football guy. Ray Farmer, football guy. That was probably the best thing that probably happened to this organization, those two guys. And the reason is, you know, Nate, I couldn't agree more. You said it yourself. You know, was Holmgren a football guy? Yes. Farmer, yes. Did it work? No. And you saw two guys who were behind the scenes tug of war with, I want my guys on this team. I don't want to play your guys. I want my guys. Back and forth, back and forth. It finally made Jimmy Haslam realize, guys, owners are not football guys. And they never have been. So
right.
Now, Haslam finally realizes and self-admittedly came into a press conference and admitted, this is my fault. I had this wrong. He was listening to other people and their recommendations. Hire this guy. This is a good guy. Go get this guy. I would recommend this guy. Finally realized he's not a football guy, brought somebody in, Sashi, who is somewhat neutral. He has football ties, yes. He has analytics ties, yes. He's going to be the mediator to get people in here who are of same thinking, and it's about the Browns. It's not about what your GM wants. It's not about what your coach wants. It's what about everybody wants and what the team needs to have. And this football guy mentality that the fans, like a couple callers ago, well, what does Sashi know about football? And you're right. I don't think they hired him in that role for that reason. I think Jimmy saw this tug-of-war between Farmer and Pettine and realized, you know what, I put two football guys in spots that technically, separately, are probably really good guys. Farmer was highly touted as a football guy and a talent evaluator. But it didn't work because the last caller, that's the biggest word is you put guys in there, football guys, they want, you know, they think they know, they've got a way they do things, and if you just throw a bunch of guys into a pot and hope that it's going to work or that you're going to have continuity, I mean, continuity in a lot of organizations that are successful comes from they found their group of people that do things the way they need to do them for the organization, and when you finally find that group of guys, you don't let them leave. And I hope that that's where we're at or that's where we're headed right now because it sure feels like it.
I certainly agree with that. So we're certainly excited, and that was well said, and I appreciate that with you jumping in there. I appreciate that. All right, let's go to Stan as well. Is he there? He's not there. Stan, I thought you were with us, my friend. And I think that in some ways we will look back on this as it is a turning point. And I believe that it sounds like they're going to have time to implement this. This is the vision. This is the direction. And for Jimmy Haslam, he came in and he tried a lot of traditional things that didn't work. And now he's figured out this is what he wants to go with. This is his vision. They got the coach they wanted. They got Hugh Jackson who bought in. And people forget it's not necessarily a traditional approach down in Cincinnati. Mike Brown is the one who has the final say. They don't have a quote-unquote personnel football guy with the final say down there, and I'd say the Bengals have done a pretty good job. Now, they haven't been able to win in the playoffs, but I would certainly like to go to 5 straight playoffs with the Cleveland Browns.
How great would winning 10 out of 16?
Fantastic.
Okay. Because, I mean, the Eagles with Chip Kelly won 10 out of 16 and still didn't go to the playoffs, but it's a fun year.
A very fun year. Yes.
You know, butts are in seats, smiles on faces. Jerseys selling out of the team shop.
Jerseys out of the team shop. Let's go. Let's dance in the streets, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what? And something that the last caller kind of talked about, and when you look at Sashi Brown, and he's a law guy, you know, he's a lawyer, obviously Harvard grad. And I just think, you know, when you look at big cases, you know, that are out there at an extremely high level with a lot to gain and a lot to lose, you know, whether you're the defendant or the plaintiff, it's not one person that's representing an individual one side or the other, you know, in any, like, any big case. It's a team. It's a law firm, you know, and so it's not one. It's not just one guy. It's the accumulation of years and experience with this guy. You know, he's a great this type of lawyer, and he's a this kind of lawyer, and he's a court. He did, and it's. But when you come together, you represent your law firm.
Yeah.
You know, Sashi Brown will be the one. He'll be the one standing up in the courtroom, you know, making decisions, you know, questioning, you know, individuals and so on and so forth. And that's his role. But it's the team of the individuals, the years and experience that he's now going to have around him. And Paul DePodesta, what he does, the top talent evaluator. And again, if we're taking this long, we're seeking out the right guy, not just a guy. Otherwise, we'd have someone in that role right now. Hugh Jackson and his experience as a head coach and an offensive innovator and a quarterback guy.
I want people to remember as well that I think a lot of people are under the impression that right now it's just Sashi and Paul. The scouting department is still intact.
We see him walking around here?
All the time.
All the time.
Chiz Opara, Dan Sag, those people are all still here. They're all still working. That scouting department is still intact. So we still have the people doing their jobs in that scouting department.
And we'll be at the Senior Bowl
standing
right next to Sashi Brown and Hugh Jackson representing the Cleveland Browns in Mobile, Alabama.
No question about it. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. We've got time for one more before we take a break. Tony in Canton. Tony.
Hey, what's going on, gents?
Good, man.
Good, good. Hey, you know, with these pickups here, you know, I'm going to think that this dedication that Mr. Haslam's got in these individuals, I think that it is going to start at the top, and it is going to work its way down. I think he thought that was going to work with Petten until we've seen the disaster of a defense, and it just kind of crumbled with the offensive line coach. You know, there's just a lot of different things. But with these, in a sense, I'll call them buy-ins, I think that this is his direction. He's like, you know what? I'm invested. We're going to do this. We're going to go this way. This is the process. We're going analytics. And his confidence with the process, again, is going to trickle downhill all the way to that locker room, and they are going to produce the results that they should have been.
Yeah, that is the goal. Results, production, produce, get the best out of this. Consistently better outcomes. That's what we heard. All in all, and then sustained success. That is the goal here for the Cleveland Browns. All right, last opportunity to get your calls or your tweets in at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, at Browns_daily, or call the show 216-578-0850. Zagura and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Wrapping it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And let's go back to the phones now. We got Dale in Canton. Dale.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. Hey, you know what? Just listening to the interview and things, I think DePodesta and Sashi Brown, long-term, I think they're going to help out the organization a good deal, long-term. But short-term, you know, us as being fans, short-term, I believe the coaches that they have in place, that's, you know, where it's going to make an immediate impact, in my opinion, because I think now you have a coach that, you know, not the other coaches, but I believe this coach here is expecting to have things, you know, going in the right direction. He's a quarterback guy. He's an offensive coordinator. Once again, you know, just us being as fans, we expect, you know, something to happen immediately. Long term, you know, DePodesta and Brown, I think they'll do a good job. But, you know, once again, like I say, as a fan, you know, we look at the coaches that they have in place and we want immediate change. And you know, I don't think it's nothing out of the ordinary to expect that, you know. I mean, I'm sure that they're expecting the same thing. I don't think none of those coaches came in and said, hey, you know, we're going to come here and go 3-13 again. So, you know, I think the coaches that they have in place, the attitude that they may be bringing to the table, I think, you know, it can all be a positive. Y'all have a good day.
I think you're exactly right. Let me just say, I believe that you're exactly right. I also believe that when you look at this, Sashi and Paul, I think their role is to get to the point where you can have long-term sustained success. But I think if there is a quick turnaround, that's going to be a big credit to Hugh Jackson and his staff.
Oh, absolutely. I really do. And I think when you dive into this football team and you look at this city and where it was at 7-4, okay, say you lose three of your last five, right? Okay, you finished 10-6, you know, in a rookie head coach's, you know, first year on the job with a bunch of guys that come to find out weren't all that qualified.
Yep.
You know, weren't all that great being football coaches. Just kind of goes to show, you know, what maybe the previous regime had done in prepping this football team. And I know, you know, you can look at the schedule, but for me, I think we as Browns fans have to have realistic expectations. We're not going to hang our hat. I'm sure Sashi Brown, Paul D. Podesta, Hugh Jackson's not hanging their hat on going 3-13 to 13-3.
No,
you know, that's not healthy, because you go 3-13 to 13-3, then you go back to 7-9. You know, I think getting back to 7-9. You know, getting, and I'm not saying this is what I'm calling for. You get to 6-10 and you lose two of those football games, you know, on a last second drive, on, you know, on a failed conversion or something that sort. And I think, but five of the losses, you were competitive and you lost by 6 points or less, you know, and that's the way you and I will come on this radio show and talk about, man, not, we don't hang on the what ifs, because you can do that about anything, but it's like, we're so close. We are so close. We doubled our win totals in 1 year. You know, and you look at the roster and how old it was on defense,
sure,
how high paid it was, how we missed on draft picks in 14, and yet we were so close in this many games and doubled our win total from 1 year to the next. Those are the conversations from 1 year to the next that you should be having.
Or even just finish a season out on a positive note instead of a five-game losing streak. How about a three-game winning streak where you win four out of your last six and you start to feel some momentum building?
Go 6-2 at home, okay, and 2-6 on the road. That'd right?
We would take that
win
all day
at home.
Long.
Make First Energy Stadium, you know, in the dog pound, as Sashi says, you know, the place to be, the it place to be on a Sunday, instead of at the end of the year contemplating, heard it's going to be 20. The Browns aren't, you know, they're whatever and whatever.
Yeah, so you don't get a situation like you did in week 17 where it was all Steelers fans.
Correct.
It was disgusting.
That's my point.
I hated it.
Exactly. That's my point. You make it a place to be again, because those true Browns fans will always be true Browns fans. And I think the product on the field has beaten them down.
Yep.
You know? And I think Sashi Brown, and that's why I asked the question that I did, what are you excited about? You know, I'm excited. Obviously, he's excited in his role and the work ahead of him, or else you don't take that promotion. You stay comfortable, you know. He's getting very uncomfortable to do something that he's never done before in hopes of producing something that this fan base and city will be proud of.
That is certainly the ultimate goal here, and we heard today about the process. And, you know, it's interesting. People, you know, the skeptics that are out there, and I know Mike Florio was certainly not a skeptic, but was curious to see how it went. And one of the interesting tweets he had, Sashi Brown was on Pro Football Talk Live today, and it was pretty cool. He said, "It's clear that the changes to the Browns aren't as revolutionary as some are suggesting. Instead, it's basically them just trying to put an intelligent approach to what is going on." So that is basically his take on it. And he was a guy who was certainly skeptical about what was happening there. Tomorrow we will have the kid in here. We will make our picks for the game over the weekend, the two games, the conference championships. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the big news around the National Football League. Obviously, the first woman coach in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, did that yesterday. We will talk about that a little bit, get your take on that, Matt Wilhelm, and we'll go through, you know, some more of what's going on. I'm going to have an opportunity to sit down with Paul D. Podesta one-on-one after this show today. That video will be up for you at clevelandbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. If you missed our interview with Sashi, you can get it there. And you can also get their press conference, Paul DePodesta and Sasha Brown, about 30 minutes, 30-plus minutes, really, with the media covering everything from every angle. So want to thank everybody for being with us here today. For our producer, Chris Coombe, for Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay warm out there. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. And thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by the great folks at Liberty Ford. Phenomenal folks.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.